Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Minhag HaMedina now. I'll pick up with this in the next shiur. Okay, so first off, notice our Gemara suggested that when there's this kind of no agreement on the contract price, we default to Minhag HaMedina. Correct? Okay. Now, the Gemara also seemed to assume that when we go to Minhag HaMedina, we go for the, if the Minhag is split, you go for the lower amount. Pacha Shebe Poalim, whereas our Gemara said, our Gemara wasn't so clear, but the reason why there's Taromes is because the Poalim gets stuck with the lesser amount. If you look at the Gemara on Pei Zayin Amid Aleph, so the Gemara is interpreting the line of the Mishnah that says, Akol Kiminhag HaMedina. The Gemara says, Akol La'asui Yemai. So it gives us the following machlokas. So if I hire workers and I say, you know, I'm hiring you guys like these workers get, an arbitrary worker in the town gets. So the worker gets kepachoshebe poel, and that's Rabbi Yeshua's shita. That's consistent with what we saw in Ayin Vav, correct? You get the pachoshebe poel amount. Rabbi Yeshua or the Chacham disagree, and they say Mishamnim Beinehem. What's Mishamnim Beinehem? What's Mishamnim Beinehem? You take the average. Yeah, you split the difference. Now it's an interesting question whether you take the weighted difference or just the numerical difference. It's not so clear. But the important point here is that according to the Chachamim, if I hire you and I say that I'm hiring you as an arbitrary worker is going to make, then we don't go for Pacha Shebe Poalim, which is what our Gemara 9 Vav suggested. We actually go for Mishamnim Beinehem, some market average, the difference between the higher working Poel and the lesser working Poel. Okay?
So what in this Gemara, the Hakol is going to include discussions of wage?
Yeah. Because you know, it talked about food and
right.
Hours.
So then, you can't say what we said about Rashi, given this Gemara. Wages in the realm of
yeah. Idea. Although you might say it's only in this kind of a case where you say ke'efod of shnayim
ibnei a year. Okay, but you can't make the essential versus tangential argument to defend Rashi.
Possibly, right? I mean
I can't, but
it's a little different here because remember here you are specifying. But yes, I hear your point. Yeah, I mean, you're saying that. It's clear that generally speaking, at least in certain cases, prices could be fixed by... But this is different, so we'll see why this is different. Yeah, you'll see why this is a little different. Okay. Now, there's something that's interesting here. So why is the rule here that we go for splitting the difference between the better paid workers and the less paid workers, whereas on Ayin Vav, the Gemara seemed to say that you go for Pacha Shebe Poalim. Correct? Let me just point out, this is where the Rif cites the Yushalmi, famous Yushalmi. We split the difference between, we take the average of the market rate rather than the lesser of the two, because Yushalmi says, Osomeres haminag mevata halacha. Now, it's Machokas Rishonim exactly what minag mevata halacha here means, but on one view, what does it mean?
Usually
yeah, it's mevatel the halacha of hamotzi mechaber al varaya. Right, so we're not following the default rule that the motzi has the burden of proof, and that we resolve these ambiguities against him. We follow the rule that look for the market norm, look for the minhag. That's going to resolve the ambiguity. Okay. So this poses a problem for the Gemara on Ayin Vav. So what's the answer? Who at least addresses this? If you remember?
Probably
the Ritva. He asked this question. This is why does the Gemara Pei Zayin say that you follow the Minhag, whereas the Gemara on Ayin Vav seems to suggest Yad Paul Atachtona. And what does he say?
Because there are terms to this contract, and there are terms to the contract
that I end up. Yeah, there are terms, right? What are the terms?
They're kind of vague, but we can interpret
That's exactly right. This is why, Yair, this is what I was telling you, that you might say that, right, it's not true that you could learn from Pei Zion, that you could apply Menachem Medina to fill in basic things that are missing, right? Because the Ritva's point is that what distinguishes the cases is that on Pei Zion, there was a specification. We know how much they wanted the contract to be evaluated at. We know what the price for the contract was. The problem is that specification is a moving target. So we have to figure out a way to give content to the moving target. But there was clear, there was das, there was a meeting of the minds, just the meeting of the minds was itself was not set on something that was sufficiently determinate between them. That's different from a case where there was no meeting of the minds at all on what the contract price would look like, and we have to supply it yesh me'ayin. Okay? Is that... Do you see the distinction? So, I think what he's trying to say, maybe this touches on what Ben was saying earlier. Earlier I was saying there are two theoretically different ways of understanding why Menachem HaMedina should fill in the content of an ambiguous agreement. One is that it's like an interpretation of the das of the parties. And the other is that it's just, you know, it's just the rule. When there's no agreement, we put it in. Because that's the, you know, we have to default to something, and the norms seem like a reasonable thing to default to. You might say, it's not mukhach at all, but you might say that this speaks to those two dinim being at play. So when the parties say ke'echad u'cheshnayim b'bnei ha'ir, so we're interpreting their content. And we're interpreting what's the focal point that could be a reasonable interpretation of ke'echad u'cheshnayim b'bnei ha'ir, like the arbitrary worker in the city. That's the market average. So then we're supplying, we're giving an interpretation of their das, or what their das like could reasonably be. But in a case where there are no terms put in at all, so then we just have to default to some other basis for content in the agreement, not their das, and then we go to the Minhag HaMedina and like the least paid worker within the Minhag.
This, I think, cuts against the risk explanation that we were talking about, or the way we were discussing the risk.
The Tarazila. The Tarazila idea.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be a subjective
that
das.
That seems to be an evaluation of the das parties.
Yeah. I wonder if maybe you could flip it the other way and think that maybe the Echad Ushnayim Ibn Ya'ir is like a default rule. I'm not sure.
You don't think I'm right about the risk?
No, I think you're right. The Tarazila on some readings would be a subjective interpretation of their das. My only question is, do you think that maybe my suggestion here that there are two different principles of Menachem HaMedina here, one in the case of Echad Ushnayim Ibn Ya'ir, and one in the case where there's no Ketzitza at all, do you think there's a possibility that it cuts in the opposite way?
No. I would just say that I think there are two different contracts with different terms, so the Rif might say, you know, in a case where you don't specify, the implicit das is the lowest price. In a case where you offer this unusual formulation, the implicit das is actually...
So it's just two different...
to an average.
Right, but two different things within implicit das.
Yeah, just when you add more terms, it becomes a little clearer.
And I guess you could also say they're just two different applications of a default rule as well, right? I mean, I get it. For the riff, you want to say a Tarazila is subjective das, right?
Yeah, but the problem is if you have a default rule, it's harder to understand why there'd be different applications of the rule.
Yeah.
Right, like, in both cases, we're looking at the way that normal people are paid in the market.
Yeah.
Except in one case, we're giving you an average, and in one case, we're giving you the lowest price. It's hard to think of a default rule that explains that.
Unless you think that... right. Unless you think that in one case an agreement, maybe it's more precise to say that in the Pei Zion case, there is an agreement, so the default rule just has to be with respect to the content of that agreement. So it narrows the range of what the agreement could have been for. Nah, I don't think so. I don't think so, actually. So I think either we have to say that they're just different interpretations of what their das is, or that in one case we're interpreting their das, and in the other case we're supplying just default content. Gabe, you with me? Gabe? Dumb.
Sorry, I was on mute.
Okay, good. Ben, you with me? Yeah? Okay. Now, let me just point out, there is an interesting question about what exactly constitutes gesturing at, let's say, ke'echod u'cheshnayim b'nei ha'ir, where it's mishamnim b'neihem, versus what constitutes, oh, there was no agreement on the price at all, and so we have to supply pachashev u'pol. So the Ketzos, based off the Ramban on Pei Zayin, has an interesting discussion about this, where it goes to Tosefta, where I hire you, to do some work in my field, and I say, I'll pay you b'shas ha-gorem. I'll pay you with the fruits at the time that you get to keep some fruits during the time of the Gemar Malacha. So the rule there is that you pay the shar ha-benoni, you pay like the average of the value of the fruits, b'shas ha-gorem. Okay?
Meaning as opposed to the actual quality of the fruits that you have, you pay by average fruit quality? No. I'm saying like the average of the fruits that you have.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. So, let's see what he says here.
But I don't tell you how many fruits, what did I tell you in advance?
Well,
what in the Tosefta? What was
agreed upon?
What was the
Balak? Posigal peros anose in the chavero, litain lo peros bigorem, chayev lahamid lo kishar abinoni. So I have an agreement.
That's like that's an Edis kind of day. You're giving the same value of the day, you're just like quality.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? You think
it's going to be. Ezer shar abinoni, hayu mahalchos mishmona mitesha meeser, nosin lo mitesha. All right, so if the market sells these apples, some of them go for 9, some of them go for 10, some of them for 8. So you sell for 9.
But he's giving me a fixed value of them. How many apples are you?
He doesn't tell you. He just says, I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you 10 apples at, right?
Yeah, but I think that means that I came to you with a $100 bill and I said, I want to buy $100 of apples.
Right, so what quality apples
so
do I have to sell?
Apple? I'm getting. So this is, I think it's the same kind of thing. Where if I'm a bottle but I want some of your land, I'm getting the same value of land, I'll just get more or less of it depending on the quality. It's still related to our issue, I think, in terms of what people prefer, just in the strict monetary sense, I'm not sure it's all
right. Well, why can't it be a case where, you're saying just because the case, why couldn't the case be a case where, no, some sellers sell it for 8, some sellers sell it for 9, some sellers sell it for 10.
It's not right. You're saying the shard meaning the thing. I'm on $100 with apples.
The value.
I'm saying, yeah, well, my apples are $100 an apple. And
exactly.
Right. Apple
right. So you basically front me the money and you say, I want to buy $100 worth of apples, when they're ripe, and I'm paying you now. I'm buying 100 apples and I'm paying you now, and you'll supply them when they're ripe. So the Gemara is saying, well, you have to pay, you have to give them the number of apples that were based off the shar habenoni. Yeah? So the interesting point that the Ketzos here makes is, well, what determines when you go by the shar habenoni versus going for like the pachos amount, the motzei mechaver al varaya rule? Okay? Yadam al tachtona. This is interesting. He says that Divadai kishasocher poel b'stam ve'eno mazkir kla lomar lefi damim shasocher b'ir imkein eno ala pepachos. So if you don't mention anything, like in the schiras poelim case, there's no price at all, so you're entitled to only pachoshev poelim. Okay. But when you say ke'echad u'cheshnayim b'bnei ha'ir, where you start already trying to get into the price, then daito ashuma dibnei ha'ir v'havalik omer kedeshaymi. L'chein daito amitsua. So things, once you start trying to get into the actual price, then you reach some sort of equilibrium amount about what the price average is going to be. Not super clear why. And then he says, kishaposek al ha'peiro she'itin lo bigoren, tahashta leka shar klal. So there's no present price for apples, right? Because the apples are not yet harvested. El ha'kavan al shar ha'goren, v'havvalei ke'omer al shar she'bigoren. He thinks it's like you're implicitly saying, oh, I'll pay you based off like the future market price. So you're gesturing towards some definite thing. See that? So he thinks it's different from the case where you don't specify anything about the amounts. You're gesturing to the shar ha'goren implicitly. And then once you gesture toward the shar, then you just start figuring out the average. So there are two important points that we're going to have to stop here, but I want to leave you with three thoughts. Two of them are about this this ketzos and ritva that we just read. So the first is, so there's some sort of distinction that's being drawn here based off the chilah between the design and the above, between do you try to specify some amount that's indeterminate, or do you not specify at all? That's the first distinction. Now, if so, it has a nice little finish. He's saying that when you say, I'll give it to you, b'shas ha-goren, you're implicitly gesturing to the shar that's going to exist then. Okay? And that's the shar ha-mitsua. The second point is interesting here. Notice what he says. Notice the key phrase for our purposes. What does he say? This is the ketzos' own language. When a person says, echad, what is this, what's the key word, Ben? Are you trying to say something?
No.
Oh. What's the key word?
Daito
ashuma. Be'omer, when I say ke'echad u'cheshnayim b'bnei ha'ir, so then my das is for the shuma. So you see, it's a subjective reconstruction of what the parties could mean. Okay? Right, again. L'chein daito amitsua. So it's about the subjective valuation. Same thing over here. Kishomer al shar sheyiye harein shar, whatever. Mishumachi daito amitsua. You see, it sounds like he's trying to get into the party's head to figure out what it is. Okay. We'll talk a little bit more about this. The third thought I want to leave you with is, so this sounds like it's not a default rule to supply content as an interpretation of the dots. The third thing I want to leave you with is that Minhag HaMedina is a very loose concept, right? So I want to know how specific does the Minhag have to be to the parties? This came up a little bit, right, in the case where the guy does really good work, high quality work, the shop thought that bumps him into the fourth class. But more importantly, what if we have a Minhag that exists between the parties that's distinct from the Minhag HaMedina? So which one of those should prevail? Okay? You see that important question?
Yeah.
So you might think that, I mean, just look here at this Piskei Choshen, and then we'll close with this, in a Chelek, in Perek Ches, Sifvav. Sachar l'zman katzav b'kach v'kach, I hire you for a year, v'lachar hazman hiskimu l'harech hazman v'lo pasku schar. And then I say, oh, Ben, I liked you for the year. I'll keep you on for another year. No thing lo kfiya psiko harishona. If we didn't specify new terms for the second year, it sounds like we just roll over the terms for the first year. Now, it's not so clear what his case is 100%, but I want this to get us thinking, well, if you have a conflict between the Minhag HaMedina and a prior, let's say, Minhag that obtained between the parties what they actually did, which one of those should determine the interpretation of the agreement going forward? See that? And I think that's very important just understanding both practically what the rule is, but more importantly for our purposes, what the significance of Minhag HaMedina is. Do you see that? Any questions before we close? No? But you see, it's an interesting question. Okay. Shkoyach. Let's stop here. So Gabe Shkoyach for joining us, and we'll pick up on Thursday with the Minog HaMedina, Minog between the parties question. Shkoyach.